Hey everybody, this is Kevin Bass at thedebtwars.com. In this video, I'm going to be talking to you guys about the Diaz brothers and their diets and how, frankly, their poor nutritional knowledge undermined their athletic performance during their fights. A word of introduction, I'm a medical student, I'm a scientist, I'm almost done with my PhD. Once I'm done with my PhD, I'm going to finish up medical school. I have a million years of training in the sciences. Quite literally, I've been in academia for the last 10 or 15, last 15 years. More, almost longer than that. And I've been fascinated with nutrition for quite a while, especially sports performance, sports nutrition, bodybuilding, and increasingly, as I'm a jiu-jitsu player, and also cross-training and wrestling in combat sports nutrition. So that's my background. That's what I'm going to be talking about. I hope you guys enjoy the video. Hey, everybody. This is Kevin Bass at thedietwars.com. In this video, I want to put forward the case that Nate and Nick Diaz, the Diaz brothers, famous for their fighting career over the past 10 years, in the UFC and in Strikeforce as well, undermined their athletic and fighting performance and therefore their legacy via their adherence to a raw vegan diet. Now, it's widely known among followers of people who follow the UFC and people who follow Nick and Nate Diaz in particular, that they eat a predominantly plant-based diet, sometimes entirely vegan. In the case of, I believe, each of them, but at least in the case of Nate, they consume this vegan diet during their training camps, starting about 1.5 months before their fights. And they use it in order to cut weight. And I'm going to point out, although that this has been widely celebrated among vegans, among plant-based dieters, among plant-based and vegan bloggers, in big vegan documentaries, as I'll show, this practice was counterproductive and probably greatly impaired their performance in the octagon. So to show all of this, I'm going to go through the evidence about what diets they actually ate, why they ate them, what these diets meant in terms of their nutrient intake, and why this would be expected to impair sports performance. Finally, I'll be making the case that they made these decisions on the basis of no good evidence, and they should have done things differently than they did. And then, clearly, I'm going to make the case that people who want to optimize their sports performance should talk to an expert, somebody who both has training in the area as well as participates in it themselves, or participates in at least a related sports activity that gives them some perspective about what actually works and what doesn't. So let's get to it. So we'll start with this article on theblayelbow.com. It's about Nick mocking Joe Rogan and Conor McGregor after UFC 196. And during UFC 196, Nate Diaz submitted McGregor. There was a substantial weight discrepancy, but that's probably not the main reason. The probably main reason is that McGregor simply didn't have the gas tank necessary to deal with Diaz, his volume and his toughness, because Nate is an extraordinarily tough and relentless fighter. And he gassed. And as a result, he got submitted by Nate. When this happened, as the article points out, Nick was very, I suppose one would say, dismissive and insulting of Joe and, of course, of McGregor. He's very hostile. And he wrote a bunch of tweets mocking him. So here are some videos, and some of them are quite bad. For example, this one by Durian Ryder called Joe Rogan Worst of the Meatheads. And this guy named Durian Ryder, it's not worth really mentioning too much, but he's really hostile. And it's it's obvious that Nick is angry at Joe for saying bad things about a vegan diet. So Nick believes that the vegan diet is good. Joe doesn't. And Joe said a bunch of bad things, and then Durian Ryder jumped in and insulted Joe, and now Nick is posting that after Nate's victory. Because many vegans took it to be, in this case, like a demonstration that vegan diets were the best, which, as anybody who is involved in combat sports knows, is ridiculous, because combat sports is so much more than diet. And in the case of Nate, he's an enormously gifted athlete, and technical ability and a gas tank and relentlessness, heart, matters for a lot. And Nate has all of that. So when Nate beat McGregor, it wasn't because of his vegan diet. As I'll be arguing in this video, it was despite that diet. And there's more. Even one tweet saying Conor McGregor got his ass kicked by a vegan. Nate Diaz fight reaction. Joe Rogan gets owned by a vegan UFC fighter. I haven't seen this one yet. I'm going to look at this for a second. Oh, it's private, sadly. Yeah, so there's a bunch of hostility from Nick. In fact, there seems to be a very strong identitarian streak to Nick's adherence to a vegan diet. It's not merely something that helps him, but something he'll go to war about on Twitter. He will insult other people who say bad things about a vegan diet. He will play this game of, you know, it's us versus them. So it's in fact part of his identity, and not merely simply a diet he does for sports performance. And this is important because it implies that it could be clouding his objectivity, this identitarian orientation towards the diet. And I believe it did cloud his objectivity. And this has implications for the degree to which it undermined his and his brother's performance without them being aware of it. This loss of objectivity made them less aware of how good the diet was actually helping, or in this case, hurting them. Next, we're going to look at this video where Nate Diaz talks to journalists about the diet that he consumes, and we'll get some details about what this diet is. And this video is called UFC Fighter Nate Diaz Talks About Why Raw Vegan Diet.
Right. You spoke about that before, like you got up to 191 and how miserable you were, and that was kind of the impetus behind going to welterweight. And Caesar talked about this new raw vegan diet. How's that treating you?
Not why I've been vegan for a long time, since I was about 18, 17 years old. And I eat raw. I've been doing that for a few years now. But I eat raw, building up to a fight about a month and a half out. Because more so, if I could eat as much as I want and lose the weight. rather than if I'm cooking food and making all kinds of other stuff. Keep your food to a limit. I try to I try to eat all raw. I eat like some steamed rice, some complex food, you know, but mainly all raw vegan.
So does a slice of pizza ever cost anything as it looks?
No, I'm not. I'm gluten, dairy free, and I'm with it.
Nice.
Yes, it does, though. We start to fight. I mean, full gluten free pizza.
As we can see in this video, the reason Nate consumes a raw vegan diet is because he wants to be able to eat as much as he wants, but still lose weight. In addition, he mentions he eats steamed rice, and it's gluten and dairy-free. So there's already several restrictions in this diet going on, which is going to be very important for us understanding why it's detrimental. First of all, he excludes all cooked foods. So this means no cooked grains, for example, although I guess he says steamed rice. It's probably going to exclude legumes, although he hasn't said that one way or the other. And if it does exclude legumes, that's a big problem. It's going to exclude wheat because of the gluten, and it's going to exclude dairy. And it's going to make sure that all the food that he eats has to be raw. So presumably he's not getting any bread. He's not getting a lot of other sources of calories. Presumably it's a very high volume diet with a lot of bulk, but not much calories in the bulk because so much is being excluded. He's not getting fatty meat. He's not getting like processed stuff. He's just eating a raw vegan diet. And it's allowing him to lose weight and eat as much as he wants. Here's the main problem. And this is an overwhelming problem. And this is the principal problem, if not the problem. This kind of dietary pattern tends to be low in protein. And if he's not focusing on protein, like really focusing on protein to get a lot of protein, and it sounds like he's not because he doesn't mention it. And if he was, he would mention it because it would be an important thing that he has to focus on every day because he'd have to add the protein to every meal and he'd have to really focus on getting a lot of it. And it would be onerous. And it would be something he would be focusing and working on, and he would mention it. So he's probably not doing that. And since he's not doing that and he's eating a raw vegan diet, he's probably very low in protein. Now, this is going to become important in a moment because we're going to see what the research shows about that, like overwhelming research, and what everybody who's a bodybuilder knows. Everybody who's a fitness athlete, physique athlete knows, everybody who's involved in the whole game of maintaining and adding as much muscle as possible and maintaining leanness knows. But before we get into that, we're going to look at some more information here. So despite this fact, this obvious fact that we can see just at the beginning that he's probably eating a protein low diet, maybe even not even meeting the a recommended daily allowance, the recommendations. He may not even be eating the minimum that he needs in order to maintain adequate nitrogen balance, that is to say adequate protein without needing to churn it up, to catabolize it and break it down because he's not getting enough. This fact isn't mentioned in the vegan and plant-based world. So let's look at this clip from The Game Changers. It was a vegan documentary from 2016, I believe, or it was 2019. It's around there. But in any case, it is one of the biggest vegan documentaries ever released. It made a huge splash. I believe it was directed by James Cameron, if I'm not mistaken. And it used the case of many vegan athletes, including at least two MMA fighters, one of which was Nate. And we're going to talk about, we're going to show this in a second. They used Nate's story in order to promote veganism, but it's very misleading, as we'll see. We'll watch now.
Here we go!
When Nate Diaz stepped into the cage to face Conor McGregor, the Vegas oddsmakers had Diaz as the 4-1 underdog.
He caught him again with a right hook. And another left. And again with a combination. Diaz trying to finish with a submission.
He's got it. That's it. He's got the shot.
Nate Diaz.
He's got it.
He has done it. Nate Diaz beats Conor McGregor. Oh, my goodness. Nate Diaz, he just shook up the world. How's that feel?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
It's a bitter, bitter pill to swallow. It was simply a battle of energy in there, and he got the better of that, so.
9 days out from the fight, I started eating two steaks a day, and it just came back to bite me on the ass, you know?
This was the greatest upset in UFC history. And it turned out Nate wasn't the only plant-based fighter out there.
So this is really interesting because this talks about UFC 196. UFC 196 is where Nate beat Conor, but it doesn't talk about UFC 202. So once Conor got his cardio back, he got his cardio up to par with Nate's because Nate does like triathlons and a lot of road work when he's not training jiu-jitsu and MMA. And so he has a really big gas tank and he's really resilient. And so Conor caught up in UFC 202 and beat Nate. Conor didn't go vegan to beat Nate. But this documentary doesn't point that out because it's against the agenda the documentary is saying. But the next important thing to notice, and you may have already noticed it by looking at the video from the Game Changers, is that the physique of Conor versus Nate is strikingly different, despite there being in the same weight class. And you can see this. We'll go to the second fight, actually.
A beautiful display of leg kicking so far by Conor.
You can see that Conor's like very muscular, very like
long reach.
He's very well defined, whereas Nate almost has a spare tire around his belly. He has a big spare tire above his shorts. His arms are much skinnier than Conor's. And this relates to what we were talking about, the protein issue. If you are deficient in protein, you are not going to retain muscle mass as easily, and you are going to gain more fat. And when you're losing weight in an energy deficit and your protein intake is low, as would be the case on a low protein raw vegan diet, you're going to disproportionately strip off muscle and keep fat. Maybe even add fat while you lose muscle, while you lose weight. A low protein diet changes the composition of the body to be higher in fat and lower in muscle. Protein is a body recomposition tool. It changes your fuel partitioning away from adding to muscle and towards adding to fat if you have low protein. And this is why when Conor saw Nate at UFC 196, he said this.
All right, I'm here with the champ.
It's another day for me. One pulls out, another one steps in. I'm usually. I'm just giggling at his little soft body. I've never seen a skinny guy. How can a fat guy be so skinny at the same time? I've never. It amuses me. But.
So you say, how can a fat guy be skinny at the same time? And if we look at Nate Diaz's physique, even though he won in UFC 196, his physique had left a lot to be desired. You can see that with Connor. Let's get a good picture here. Yes, this is good. You can see, this is not as good. Hold on. Here's a good one. You can see that Connor is very well-defined. He has very well-defined abs, whereas Nate has a pudgy belly, again, a spare tire around, and his arms are skinnier than Connor's are. So despite being heavier than Connor, and this is really evident in this picture, despite being heavier than Connor, he's much fatter and much skinnier. This is what you would expect from somebody who eats a low-protein diet, which is going to repartition energy away from muscle towards fat. And then especially somebody who loses weight prior to their competition on a low-protein diet, they're going to strip off their muscle and keep fat, essentially. Now, if you do this over the course of your career and you repeatedly cut weight while reducing your protein with a raw vegan diet, if that is your method of cutting weight, you are going to worsen your body composition each time. And so Nate's body composition has never been very good because of the method that he used to cut weight. Now, think about it this way. If you're keeping a lot of body fat and you're not replacing that with muscle, because you could be the same weight, just replace that fat with muscle if you trained in a smarter way and you didn't cut with a raw vegan diet, then you could fight at the same weight with more muscle. Now, some might say that some people shouldn't do that because having more muscle could gas you earlier. Granted. Now, here's the thing. Nate Diaz fought at welterweight. Okay? He fought at welterweight. But he could have fought at lightweight. And since welterweight is the higher weight than the lightweight, he could have fought at lightweight with the same amount of muscle, just reducing his fat, had kept the same gas tank, but then fought against smaller fighters. In part because his nutritional strategy, his inability to cut weight in such a way using a normal diet, a higher protein diet that would allow him to retain his muscle, because of his inability to do so and the excess loss of muscle during his weight cuts, the result is he had to fight at a higher weight class with less muscle and more fat, which is going to make things just much harder because your opponents are going to be much more difficult. As everybody knows, the higher your weight class, the more, like, you're not going to put Connor up against John Jones. You're not going to put Connor up against Stipe. It's just not a good idea because Connor's going to get smashed. Like, so what's happened with Israel Adesanya? He tried to go up weight class. He got smashed real in quick order. So it's important to understand that these dietary strategies, although they seem like, oh, what's the big deal with a little bit more fat and a little less muscle, they can really shape a person's career if one employs dietary strategies the wrong way. Now, as we continue, it's from a couple months ago. And here are some pictures of Nate, and of Stephen Thompson. And the thing that pops out, like, really super clearly, is that Nate or sorry, Nick in particular, I'm not going to say he looks fat, but he has a dad bod, right? And yet he's fighting in the UFC. He's fighting like among elite fighters, and he's not cutting his weight low enough. He's too big. He's not in great shape. He's carrying around extra fat. Let's say that he was like lighter than that and he kept less fat and he carried the same amount of muscle. If he had done that, he would have been lighter. He wouldn't have had to carry around that fat. He could have maybe lasted, you know, like had more energy, had more vigor. He could have been quicker. Now, the fact that he used a suboptimal nutritional strategy, because it's very evident, you look here, it's a suboptimal nutritional strategy. He made himself a worse fighter. And then you compare him also to Nate. Nate is just not in that great a shape. And here Stephen Thompson's in great shape. And of course, if you look at Connor's always in elite shape. Connor does great. He either has amazing genetics or he's got a really good team around him. Probably both. I mean, Connor's like veins are popping out of his shoulders, right? Which happens in some fighters. But he's always very, very lean and very, very well defined. He always looks great. Look at that. He always looks great. This is him a little bit heavier. His conditioning is always excellent. He's got things keyed in for his physique. He's right at where he should be for his weight class. Now you compare that to Nick and Nate, man. They're not. Nate could lose 10 pounds of fat and gain 10 pounds of muscle. And that would be Connor physique, a Connor level physique, right? If he wanted to stay welterweight, he could cut 10 pounds of fat and gain 10 pounds of muscle. And like, he would do much better. Nick could cut 15 to 20 pounds of fat and gain all that muscle. And just imagine. And they're following suboptimal nutritional strategies. And here, let's understand why. One of the reasons why, and you can look at this paper by Mariotti and Gardner, it's called Dietary Protein and Amino Acids in Vegetarian Diets. One of the reasons why is vegetarian diets are lower in protein, as I pointed out. Systematically lower in protein. That those dietary patterns in particular are systematically lower in protein. So if you're on a vegan or a vegetarian diet, in order to compensate for that lower protein intake, you have to consume supplemental protein. And you have to do it religiously. So if you're on a low enough diet, you should probably be consuming between like 60 and 100 grams of supplemental protein a day. Because for athletes, you're not going to meet your requirements. So for athletes in particular, you should be getting at least, at minimum, and this is probably too low, 1.2 grams per kilogram, but probably closer to 1.6 to 2.2, depending upon how it works for you. So if you can do 2.2, that'd be better. There's some evidence that higher intakes are even better, especially during weight cutting periods. But if you do better for your energy on 1.6, you should be getting at least 1.6 grams per kilogram of weight. You should calculate that out and supplement it to make sure that you're getting that much. And clearly, these guys were not doing that. So vegetarian, vegan dietary patterns have a lower protein content. They need supplementation for athletes. Okay, let's keep going though. Let's look at some of the evidence demonstrating some of the things I've been saying. So here's a paper by Jose Antonio, Darren Kandel, Scott Forbes, Ormsby, Justin Roberts. I know almost all these guys. So they point out that a high protein diet above the RDA of 0.8 grams per kilogram per day appears to increase muscle accretion and fat loss. So as I pointed out, it repartitions nutrients away from fat and towards protein, towards muscle, towards the building of muscle, and may have beneficial effects on bone when combined with exercise. There's no deleterious effects from a high protein diet on muscle, fat, or bone in exercising individuals. And it should be pointed out very clearly that the more the better, so long as it doesn't impact exercise performance and of course, if you're a fighter, fighting performance. Now, we're going to look at another article, Effects of Dietary Protein Intake on Body Composition Changes After Weight Loss in Older Adults. And their conclusion, we're not going to go through the methods, but we're going to point out the conclusion is older adults retain more lean mass and lost more fat during weight loss when consuming high protein diets. That's exactly what I've been saying this whole time. Their repeated weight cuts using a low protein diet undermined their body composition and thereby their fighting performance and ultimately their legacy. So the same thing shows here. Under stressful conditions such as energy restriction and physical activity, the RDA for protein of 0.8 grams per kilogram per day may no longer be an appropriate recommendation. So protein intakes greater than the RDA beneficially influenced changes in lean mass, when adults are purposefully stressed by the catabolic stressor of dietary energy restriction. So when they're cutting weight, they're going to help retain muscle. That's the English translation, with or without the anabolic stressor of resistance training. And if you add resistance training, protein becomes even more important as you're cutting weight. So the literature is overwhelming on this point. The literature is overwhelming that higher protein intakes are going to be necessary. If these dudes weren't majorly supplementing with protein, then they were undermining their body composition. And it's probably the case that's what was happening. If you look at their body composition, if you look at the way they're talking about their diets, they don't ever mention protein. They don't mention in that gritty detail. They don't mention, like, I'm eating so much additional supplemental protein. They never talk about any of that. They just talk about their raw vegan diet, which is gluten and dairy free, and it allows them to eat as much as they want to without gaining weight. And here's where it gets sad, because on this podcast,
well, I know you and your brother is like super into the health thing, man. You guys are vegans, right? You guys?
Yeah, vegan. I eat a little seafood. I'm going on and off. I was a complete vegan for like 8 years.
Oh, wow.
But I'll dabble into some seafood. And now that I would dabble into seafood every now and then. Mm-hmm. But now I do fish and stuff. So
that's what's up. Like, for someone like trying to go vegan or something, like, what's some like good food that you would like recommend them, man? Like, what's like a good like substitute for something? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I would never recommend tofu. Everybody does that tofu thing, but that's whack. Tofu is not good for you.
Fuck tofu.
Yeah, they make tofu and say that's some bitch ass shit. Anyway, why would you even want to eat something called that?
I agree.
And everyone's like, I'll take that tofu. That sounds weak, but that should actually lowers your testosterone. It makes you bitch made.
So you heard it first. Tofu makes you bitch made.
There you go. We need to make a shirt. Huh?
Don't forget. That's a great fucking quote right there, man. That's like one of those Facebook inspirational quotes. You know what I mean? It's just a picture of you and just says tofu makes you bitch made. I think that would be.
But hilarious. You can go to taco trucks around here too. Just order a veggie plate or something like that.
Yeah.
So here he mentions that. He believes that tofu lowers your testosterone and it makes you bitch made. I don't eat a lot of tofu. I don't have the money for it right now. I have the money I eat adequate protein. But it's important to note that tofu, if you look at the randomized controlled trials done on tofu, it doesn't affect testosterone, free testosterone, estrogen. It simply doesn't affect any of that stuff. And if you look at the individual studies conducted, it's not Big Soy doing this. It's not because Big Soy is funding these studies. They're not. It's not because some of the studies are bad. It's like very, 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 very consistent. study after study shows that tofu doesn't affect hormones. So what can we can conclude from this, coming from Nate, is that he doesn't understand nutrition. He doesn't have a nutrition background. He doesn't know what to do with nutrition. He eats a raw vegan diet for reasons we'll see in a moment, but he's filled with a nutrition myth about tofu, about protein, about all sorts of other things that have ultimately undermined his performance. So let's look at why he eats a vegan diet. He has an interview where he talks about this. We'll watch the interview.
You are a really healthy guy. Are you still vegan?
I'm not 100% vegan. I eat eggs and I do weird stuff. Like I eat a little bit of fish from time to time, but I try not to. But when I train for fights, I'm pretty much on an all raw vegan diet.
Eat your vegetables.
And then what happened was I fight, I cut meat out for about a month. I'd take the fight. That fight, I'd come home and I'd eat some meat. Like, all right, it's time. And then it would really mess me up.
Because
my body was not used to it. Like, it wasn't like something like, oh, I hate meat, you know, or anything like that. It was like, I'm going to cut it out for this competition. And then when I put it back on, my body was already used to not having having it in there. So it didn't sit well with me. And then as I went, it happened with the dairy, the cheese and the stuff. And then I cut that out. I'm like, if it's going to make me feel like that, I don't even need this in my life. So I don't crave for it or nothing. I haven't since I was 18 years old.
What made you get so health conscious? Like, was that something you were always interested in? Or did you one day feel like,
well, my
hey,
brother
I
actually
attention.
Has been big into, he's a vegan, and he put me on the whole thing. And like, a lot of the times I stopped eating meat when I was 17, 16 to compete in jiu-jitsu and kickboxing matches and boxing matches. And I would knock it off because the fights or the matches were coming up, and I had to make weight. And my brother was like, "I don't eat that because it makes me heavy and it makes me feel like crap." So I'm like, "Wow, well you're not getting beat up and you're not doing
yeah.
this." So I'm like, "When you guys sign up for a fight or a competition involved in any type of martial art, you're like, wow, the nerds come and be like, I'll do anything to not lose these things. I don't want to get beat up in front of nobody,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And it's going to hurt. So what do? I'm going to follow the leader. This guy, he does pretty good. So if he don't need me, I don't need me, you know. If he runs out on a five-mile run, I'm running on a five-mile run. So I kind of follow the leader.
Okay. So here we see the reason that he... Again, first of all, we see that he eats a raw vegan diet every single time before he competes. He doesn't eat meat even after he competes because he feels sick after he eats it. And he does this because his brother, Nate Diaz, does it. That's where his nutrition information comes from. His brother, Nate Diaz, is a killer. He does very well. Therefore, I must do the same thing as he does. That's the extent of his knowledge. That's why he's doing this particular diet, because his brother's doing it. Folks, that's not a good reason to do a diet. Now, I understand that's the reason a lot of people do diets. And look, you can take from the experience of people around you that learn things. But especially if you're an elite athlete, if you're at the highest level of the game, the sport, like Nate and Nick were, doing that kind of thing is not very smart. Not getting professional advice, not getting professional input about your diet, and having somebody who is an expert is not going to do you any favors. It's only going to hurt you because you're not going to know what you should be doing in order to maximize your performance. And in the case of Nate and Nick Diaz, the Diaz brothers is very clear. If you look at their physiques, their performance, their ability to weight cut or not weight cut, they're doing pretty badly. And I'm not saying that on a vegan diet you couldn't do well. You could. It's totally possible to do well on a vegan diet properly supplemented with protein, especially during periods of cutting before a competition. It's completely possible. But this is not what these guys did. These guys simply followed a normal vegan diet. It's not adequate for the sport's performance. And as a result, their career suffered. Now, let's look at what Nick Diaz does and why he says he does it. And this will really highlight some important points.
Champ Nick Diaz, I had a question for him. I just saw something written up in the packet that I didn't know before. It said that you, I don't know if this is true or not, but they wrote that you do a vegan diet. And I know that Bernard Hopkins does that too, and so does another black belt from your camp who's also a world champion. Could you talk to us about how that relates to your training?
I train about 6-7 days a week, you know, real hard, and I started eating, you know, vegetarian more so, like actually, you know, pretty much vegan. I ate seafood for a really long time, and then now every once in a while I'll have seafood, so you can call it pescatarian if you will, but it's a lot closer to vegan. I don't do dairy products or anything like that, and I think that I think it helps out a lot when it comes to training all week long. I spend a lot more time in the gym, on the mat, training, where other people, they do these hardcore workouts, and then they pile on a bunch of protein, and then they have to take these recovery days. And, you know, you need 3 days in a row in the gym training jiu-jitsu to lock down your technique. You know, you need these hard training 3 days, you know, in a row. You can't have one hard day and then have a break. All that stuff, just you forget about it. You try to forget about it if you're not in the gym. It's not what you want to think about if you're not in the gym. That's free time. So you're trying not to think about gym time. So, and especially for me, that's the last thing I want to think about when I get out of the gym, because I spend all 6-7 days in there. So eating, like a raw food diet, you know, a vegan diet, it really helps me out. Just feeling healthier, more oxygen, and just, you
What's
know.
The highest protein recovery food that you use after workouts?
I like to drink Vega, like the protein. It's pretty good. There's a few others like that, though. You know, but they're I don't do any whey or caseins, so, and I think that helps me out quite a bit.
All right, it's important to note that there's many people who do fighting and grappling who train six, seven days a week, and a really good example of this is Gary Tonin, and then in general the Dan Hurd guys in general, they train constantly, and I don't think any of them are on a vegan diet. So it's not necessary to train in order to train constantly. It's not necessary to be on a vegan diet. You can do that without a vegan diet. And as I would suggest doing that, not on a vegan diet, on a protein heavier diet, is going to be more beneficial for your overall body composition and recovery, which highlights some important points, right? Nick has this identitarian orientation towards his vegan diet. It's not just about his health and his recovery. As you can see, whenever he's bashing on Joe Rogan and playing this whole like vegans, like beat the meat eaters thing, it's his tribe. It's his whole belief system. It's his worldview. And let me suggest that worldview, that sense that veganism is better, actually undermined his ability to objectively look at how he was actually recovering during his workouts and undermined his ability to say, hey, wait a second, people who are meat eaters also train super hard. Some of them have amazing body compositions. We could talk about like Gordon Ryan at Danaher, right? Gordon Ryan has amazing body composition. It is enhanced, right? It's enhanced by drugs, but he trains every day. That's why he's so good. That's why he's the best jiu-jitsu guy in the world, because he trains every day. You don't get to be the best in the world by not training every day. Most of the best in the world in the jiu-jitsu and many in MMA, but at least in jiu-jitsu, they train every single day. Okay, so you don't need to go vegan to do that. And if he had not been in this whole identitarian orientation of like, that is what I am, it is the best, blah, 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 this ideological point of view, he could have maybe seen, hey, wait, maybe I can also eat more protein, right? I can even supplement with more protein and still get the same, still be a vegan and be able to train every day too. And they talked about in the news thing, after the workout protein. It's not a after the workout. Look, you need protein after the workout. That's probably the best time to have it, but you need it throughout the day. You need a certain minimum amount of protein throughout the day in order to properly cause this nutrient partitioning and body recomposition effect that protein confers. And without that, you're going to have the physique of like Nick and Nate. That's what you're going to end up with. And that's going to undermine your ability to perform as a fighter. And I believe that's what happened to them. Now, they are some of the best in the world, right? But that's innate. That's because they trained hard. They worked their ass off. They did a lot of things really well. They knew what they're doing in many different respects, in a, like completely. But they didn't know what they're doing with nutrition. And what I'm saying is there's like 20, 30, 40 different factors that are all important to making somebody elite, right? You can get, say, 80 to 90% of them and be elite, or you can get like 95 or 100% of them and you could be like super elite, like even better. And what I'm saying is if they had been doing this the proper way, they had been dieting the proper way and using nutrition in the proper way, as opposed to the way that they were doing it, where like, oh, it's just my belief. It helps me to get more oxygen by being vegan. Nah, vegan does not help you get more oxygen. You're not getting more oxygen if you're vegan. Like, that's not affected by that at all. If they had the proper beliefs and the proper experts helping them, then they could have reached a higher level of elite. And maybe when Nate Diaz fought Connor at UFC 196 and beat him, he would have done the same at UFC 202 because it was neck and neck at 202. It was neck and neck. And if he had had a bit more better body composition and didn't look as terrible as he frankly looked at UFC 202, if he had 5 pounds of extra muscle and 5 pounds of less fat, or just 5 pounds less fat and the same amount of muscle, 5 pounds less, he would have been faster. He would have been carrying on five less pounds. He would have like had more vigor throughout the entire thing. That neck and neck competition may have nudged out and Nick may have won, or sorry, Nate may have won that in UFC 202. But that didn't happen. And there's a good case to be made that that's because they had suboptimal dietary strategies. Nick and Nate did. And it undermined their overall legacy as martial artists, as great as they were. Like, they're amazing. They're deadly, but they could have done things better. And let's hope this is a lesson for everybody. And I hope that this is, because people need to understand that nutrition matters, and you can't just willy-nilly pick your diet and like, oh, it's going to work just as well as any other diet. It doesn't work like that. You need a certain minimum amount of protein every day, and you need a lot of it to hit that minimum. You need a lot, especially if you're a fighter, cutting weight, doing training hard, lifting weights. You need a lot. You need at least 1.6 grams per kilogram, probably closer to 2.2 if you can take it, if you can tolerate it. And you can do that with plant protein. You can do that with pea protein. You can do that with rice protein, rice pea protein blends. You can do that. It's a good thing. Go for it. That's great. But you need that. And I'm next video, I think I'm going to make one of Nick specifically. I'm going to talk about his CTE with respect to his diet. And we're going to talk about that part too, because that's a sad story. And we need to talk about that story. So I hope you guys learned something. I hope you guys can take from this story again, you can't willy-nilly pick your diet. You need to actually – there is such a thing as optimal. It's not just something you can just randomly choose and just like believe in, and that's whatever's optimal. No. There's actually objective reality, objective requirements for nutrition in humans, and you should pay attention to that and learn about that. And if you can't find somebody, if you can't do that yourself, you need to find somebody who can help you. All right, if you like the video, click like, click subscribe, check out my channel. I'm going to talk about Nick soon, Nick and his CTE issues with respect to his diet, his chronic traumatic encephalopathy, because everybody can tell when he's talking there's something not right anymore. We're going to talk about that particular issue in relation to his diet. And if you want to see that video, click subscribe so it pops up on your viewer whenever you see it on YouTube. Click like. Let me know how I'm doing. Leave a comment. That would be cool. And check me out on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. It's going to be Kevin and Bass, K-E-V-I-N-N-B-A-S-S. On YouTube, it's going to be K-Bass Philadelphia. Patreon, if you want to donate, it's going to be Kevin and Bass, K-E-V-I-N-N-B-A-S-S on Patreon. Check out my podcast at The Kevin Bass Show. Follow that, subscribe to that, so that you can stay updated once again on the additional videos that I'm doing on celebrity diets, including a lot of UFC fighters, because that's something I'm interested in. And I think that would be great. So do that, leave a review, leave a rating, leave feedback. And if you're on the YouTube right now, leave a comment. If you can't think of anything to say, just say algo, and it'll help the algorithm. And I appreciate that. Kevin Bass out. Peace.